looking at Matthew 20. And I'm not sure what page that is in those Bibles, but I'll give you a moment. And we're starting at verse 1. That's Matthew 20. And this is Jesus speaking. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last. Now we'll pray for Jeff as he comes and speaks to us. Thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for helping Jeff this week as he's prepared to speak to us. Fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear from you through his message today. And we pray that we may all know you better through it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Susanna. Fantastically read there. A good, clear message, I'm sure. Confusing, isn't it? A bit, that parable, don't you think? A bit confusing. Don't worry about that. It'll be crystal clear by the time I've finished. Not easy to understand, but thanks for reading it so well. Parables, that's what we're going to be looking at in the next 4 weeks. Parables. Earthly pictures of heavenly meaning, with heavenly meaning. Earthly pictures with a heavenly meaning. They're always about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. And they're always, in a sense, opposed to the kingdom of earth, if you like. There's a great diversity between the two, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. They invite you in. Invite you to join in this story. Where are you in this passage? Are you the ones who have been in his vineyard all your life or a long time working for him? Or are you the ones that are waiting to be called? Where are you in the passage? And of anything, that's the question I want to ask you this morning. Where are you in this passage? And within them, again, there's always this great extreme contrast between things. Sheep and goats. Houses that stand up and houses that fall down. Houses that stand up because they're on rock, solid rock, and houses that fall down because they're built on sand. A teacher of the law walks by on the other side, and a Samaritan, would you believe it? A Samaritan. The contrast is vast between the two. Sons that stay at home, sons that run away. Where are you in this parable? Where are you in this precious story about the kingdom of God? And of course, the extremity in this particular passage is some worked all day long and some only worked an hour, yet they both got paid the same. That's not fair, is it? That's not fair. But you see, this parable is about the extravagant generosity of God. The extravagant generosity of God. He's not just generous. He's extravagantly generous. He's the most wonderful God. Where are you in this passage? C.S. Lewis, I think, once said, was asked, what's the uniqueness of Christianity? What is there in Christianity that's different from all the others? And he said, grace. Grace. The undeserved love of God for you and for me. Do you know that love? Where are you in this passage? Where are you? I spent the first part of my working life in a factory. I was an apprentice printer, and then I became a journeyman as a printer. And every morning we had to clock in, and we had to clock out in the evening. There she is. We used to honour that thing, the clocking in machine. Has anyone else ever had to use that? Are they still going these days? I don't know. Clock in, 8 o'clock, boom. Clock out, 5 o'clock, boom. And it was a good system, generally speaking. But if you were 3 minutes late in clocking in, maybe there was a queue at the clocking in, right? There's a queue and fluffing about at the front, mucking about talking. You're waiting to clock in. You've gone 3 minutes over. They docked you a quarter of an hour by the end of the week. That wasn't fair, was it? That wasn't fair at all. If you happened to work 3 minutes over at the end of the day, you didn't get paid another quarter of an hour. It's a harsh place, isn't it, the world? It's a harsh place. The clocking in machine, and I couldn't help thinking about those days for me. It all made sense. Of course it did. It all made sense. But can you imagine what my mates would do if I came in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then I went at 5? Can you imagine? It'd be a riot, wouldn't they? They'd form a union, wouldn't they? They'd appoint a speaker. They'd say, go on, up you go. Go and see the boss about this. This ain't right. And off you go. Maybe the shop steward or something. Or the father of the chapel, we call the union bloke in the printing industry. That's the tradition. Would go knock on the boss's door. Excuse me, sir. Come on in. What's the matter? What's the problem? Oh, well, it's him, sir. It's him, that bell person. He's only worked an hour. You've paid him the same. And we were expecting that you'd probably pay us more then if he's only worked an hour and gets a... Well, why is he a problem to you, says the boss. What's the problem there? Well, it's not right, sir. It's not fair. Hold on a minute. Didn't I pay you what I said I'd pay you? Didn't you get what I promised? And yes, sir. Yes. Well, why are you complaining? Go and do your work. If I want to give him what I want to give him, don't I have the right to do that with my own money? You see, God wants to give us what we need, not what we've earned, not what we can earn. He's generous. He gives us what we need, not what we want, not what we earn. Not what we get from being in it for years. And then he says this, because in parables, most times anyway, in parables, there is a line that just blows your mind. You know, in the prodigal son, it's for me, he came to his senses. You know that? He came to his senses. In this one, it's this. Have I not got the right to do what I want with my money, or are you envious? Are you envious because I'm generous? The extravagant generosity of God. That's what this passage is all about. This is a parable In this parable, God is the landowner and believers are the workers. And I wanted to emphasize this. God comes. Did you notice that? This is the owner of the vineyard who comes searching for new workers. This is the boss, the bloke who's in charge. God himself comes. God comes. He doesn't send his second in charge or the foreman, or he comes himself. And I think that's a very important point to remember, that in Christ Jesus we have God with us. He comes to us. Because we can't go to him, he comes to us. Initially, we can't go to God initially. Of course, we need to respond once he's come, but initially, God comes. God comes to us. Because we can't come to him. We're sinful. There's another extreme for you. We're sinful. God is holy. The gap in between is impossible to cross. We can't get there. We are sinful. We need repentance every hour. Every day, if you're anything like me, we're sinful. We can't make it to a holy God. And God doesn't like that. God didn't like that. He wanted somehow to bridge that gap. So he sends his only son. He bankrupts heaven in order that we might have a bridge between us, our sinfulness, and the holiness of God through Christ Jesus. He lays his life down, so to speak, across the divide and comes to us. God comes. Has God come? Are you waiting for God to come? Did God come and now it seems like he's gone? Where are you in this passage? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but would have eternal life. The gift of God, eternal life, now and forever. Not just forever, not when we die, not only when we die, but now, here and now. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am. Not I will be, sometime in the future, although indeed he will be. Not I was. Sometime in the past, although indeed he was, I am. Don't you want eternal life now? Don't you want the giftings of God now? With the knowledge that you're going to have them forever? This is what God gives us. It's the most extravagant generosity of God. Remember that Matthew, who wrote this gospel, was a sinner. Do you remember the story? Matthew, the tax collector, where Jesus walking along and he calls him and he steps up and he follows him. He was a sinner. He was a tax collector. He was a thief. He stole money from people. He was working for the Romans against his own people. He was a bad man. This is the Matthew that writes this gospel. And I just get the feeling that Matthew must have thought, hold on a minute. Didn't Jesus tell a story about people like me becoming people like him? Didn't he say something? Didn't he tell a story? Because Matthew, you see, is the only one who has this passage in it, in his gospel. It doesn't come in the others. And I just think Matthew must have remembered something Jesus said and was determined to put it in here. Follow me, he says to Matthew. And Matthew got up and followed him. And then Jesus followed him to his home. And who were there in his home? Sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. The extravagant generosity of God. The Holy One comes to the unholy one. The Holy One came to the Holy One, the unholy one, me. Has he come to you? The extravagant generosity of the God that would touch me, would touch you, would die to touch you, die to be with you, die to encourage you, die to help you. Because we can't come to him, he came to us. The extravagant generosity of God that gives, no matter who we are, where we are, or what we are. The extravagant generosity of God, second point, meets the exaggerated piety of man. Forgive me for that, I just had to think of something. The exaggerated. What are we? Specks of dust. What are we? Sinners saved by grace. We have a piety about it. Isn't it shame, isn't it? This parable is meant to speak especially to those who feel that they've earned a place in the kingdom of God because of how long they've been working there. This parable stems really from a question that Peter asked Jesus in verse 19, 27 to 30. Can we have that up a minute? Because it's important to remember this. Peter answered, "We've given up everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" This is Peter, Saint Peter. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you that..." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his throne, you who have followed me also will sit on your thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You see, it's not that the first who are in and have been in longest don't get the rewards. Of course they do. Of course they do. They get the rewards the same as those who have come in at the last minute. We all get the same. Peter says, "What about us? We've worked in this vineyard all these years. We've followed you from the very beginning. So it's not that the first are of no value." Of course not. Of course it's not. It can't be about that. But if we follow Jesus all our life or just for one moment, we all get the same reward. It's about those who feel superior because they've worked in his vineyard all their life. Got the t-shirt, so to speak. Been in the youth work, worked as a steward or whatever it might be. Been there, done it. Isn't it a shame that the workers couldn't praise God? He'd done a good thing here. God had done a good thing in giving the workers who came just for 1 hour the same as those who have worked all day. This is a wonderful God who gives because we need it, touches into our needs rather than what we've earned. Isn't it a shame that in the human spirit there's this thing that wants to complain about that? I don't know if you're one of those who complain about these things, who look at others and think, "Oh, I don't know, why has he got that and I've never got that, it's not fair." I don't know if you're like that. I hope you're not, because it's crazy. But I can be sometimes. I can be like that. He's done a good thing. Give him what we've needed rather than what we've earned. Have you ever complained to God about other people? About other situations? "Oh, I wish I had their gifts. I wish I had their abilities. I wish I had their strength. I wish I had their car. I wish I had their money. I wish I had their house. God, the list goes on. We have all that we need. Spiritually, especially. But God gives us stuff, bestows upon us gifts, not wages, gifts. And it's up to him what gifts he gives and who he gives them to. And it's our job to be content and to be grateful and thankful to a God who is extravagantly generous. Be careful when you say to God, but I deserve it. Be careful when you ask God to give you what you deserve. Watch out for the lightning strike. We don't deserve anything. Not really. God is all and all and all in all. This parable, therefore, is also an encouragement. It's a real encouragement, a reassurance for those that have come late of God's grace and goodness. We don't earn our salvation by having worked in his vineyard for many years. Doesn't seem fair sometimes when we put in all the effort and no one comes, you know, someone comes at the very end of their life and accepts Christ. And somehow that doesn't sound fair. But if you're a Timothy, and he's one of the best leaders of the church in the early days, the church at Ephesus, Timothy is a well-loved, well-respected leader, or you're the thief on the cross next to Christ. God loves you. He shines his light on both saint and sinner and says, come in. Come and work in my vineyard. Doesn't sound fair in terms of earthly things, that extreme, but in terms of the kingdom of heaven, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That God loves everyone and wants everyone to walk across that bridge, to have that gap sort of made whole so that we can reach God, so that God can have his heart's desire in that we would be his children and he would be our father. It's not about how good we are, how theologically knowledgeable we are, that we can find Habakkuk in the Bible or Hebrews. It's not about any of that. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I don't need to be anything more than what I am and who I am. Do you ever look to yourself and think, I wish I was more than this. I wish I was someone else. I wish I was something else. Christ loves you with a heart that's breaking for you to love him. Come to God. Listen to his voice. He is calling you. He is calling you. Come. Come and work in my vineyard. And I will give you what you need for your life. I will. I will give you all that you need. Not because you're a Christian. You're brought up in a Christian home. None of us deserve it. None of us can earn it. We are saved by grace. What's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions? What's unique? Grace. Undeserved love. Are you aware of God's extravagant generosity to you? You can see it if you look at nature. If you have eyes to see, you don't have to look at this planet. He is extremely generous when he bestows upon us this world. But do you know it for yourself as a personal thing? Do you own Jesus in your life? He loves you. He's extremely generous towards you. Or are you wishing? Are you hoping? Are you praying? Are you listening? God is calling. Where are you in this parable? Have you clocked in? Have you been clocked in for many years? Welcome, good and faithful servant. Or are you waiting to be called by the God who comes? Where are you? No matter who you are, what you are, where you are, God is calling you. Not because he needs you to slog your guts out in his kingdom, but because he wants to bless you. He wants to pay you what you need. He wants to give you everything. Your heart's desire, eternal life. Now and forever. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, he writes this. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Let me read it from this one. It's a bit easier for me. Through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of God's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? This is a gift for you. This is your gift from God. That surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Don't you want to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God? Wow. Yes, please. Yes, please. But I don't understand. You don't have to. Just come. Jesus says, believe. All those who believe, just believe. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith and believe. And you will receive all that you need. We're going to have Holy Communion. It's a picture, if you like, of what God is like, that his body is broken and his blood is shed, that we might have the fullness of God in our lives. I wonder as we take communion this morning, you might want to respond to God who's calling you to work in his vineyard, to be part of his kingdom. You might want to respond, maybe quietly, in your own hearts. You might talk to God again about this. Or you might want to come forward. We have a ministry team here who've been trained to pray, and they would love to pray with you. Why don't you respond this morning to the extravagant generosity of God that is for you? That is to feed you with all that you need. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this message, Lord. I pray you will instill it in our hearts, Lord, and help us to respond to you. Us that have been in the kingdom many years, and those of us who have only just been part of it. For all of us, Lord, would you come with your Holy Spirit and continue to bring this message of love to our hearts, we pray. Be with us, Lord, as we take communion together, as we remember your body broken and your blood shed, that you gave your life for us, to redeem us, to rescue us, to save us. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.